Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Wow, it's all go here today, isn't it? Owen, how are you? Are you all right?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I just said that.
I checked
the microphone there because I didn't know what
is
was going
working?
On. Is it working? Yeah, it is. I don't know how to start this thing, but I suppose I could say that back in 1987, the band Fairground Attraction said, it's got to be perfect.
Hey.
But not all recordings, classic or otherwise, reach that state of near perfection. To err is not only human, but it's also the lot of even the greatest of musicians and recording acts. You see, what we're looking at here is mistakes on records. I'm going to say, that wasn't a mistake. That's not a mistake.
No.
So I'm going to be saying, I don't think I believe
yes,
you.
Anyway, you're going to disprove everything that
yeah.
I say.
Owen Sweeney is here, and anyway, to listen to some classic examples of what he'll call mistakes, happy accidents, whatever, in recorded music. We're talking about the kind of thing where mistakes have been left on the actual finished recordings and become history or iconic or whatever.
The only way we hear them often, and the only way we can imagine them being. In other ways, yes.
Well, here, give us an example first before we do anything else.
Well, there's one here that's lined up. It makes sense. It starts at the beginning. It's the very beginning of a song. It's Al Green doing the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And he's kind of G'ing up the band. And this voice comes in, and ostensibly from the control booth. It's the producer saying, shut up, Al Green. But it stays on the record. He's kind of winding himself up, psyching up the band, psyching himself up.
Kind of like, stop messing, Al.
He's kind of scatting. He's kind of improving on the spot. You'll hear it, but, you know.
This is going to be very short, so I might have to play it twice. So this is, I've only got 8 seconds. This. Here,
it's
here
like
it goes.
The even song.
Okay.
Yeah, we got the feeling now. We got the feeling now.
Shut up, Al Green.
And is that part of it? Is that on the record? Is that
That's on the final version.
I see. Right, I get you. Okay.
Well, I quite like it, though. Shut up, Al Green. It does sound a bit too clear, though. I think that you
well,
might
no,
pick up this to be coming from the booth, but you never
see,
know.
The thing about it is, define mistake in a half an hour. I'll see if you have
All right.
Anyway, let's go on.
Philosophical treatise from Dave Fanning
yeah,
right
exactly,
now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
There are loads of them. They're also kind of...
I'll tell you what, I think I should play that again. So go
okay, on.
Here he is in the thing, getting ready, and the song then starts. Is it okay? Here
we
go.
Yeah, we got the feeling now. We got the feeling now.
Shut up, Al Green.
Yeah, okay, so they're all having a good time. Okay,
right.
So where are you going next?
I'm going to go to Led Zeppelin, if you don't mind.
Okay, what's the track?
The track is Since I've Been Loving You.
Wow.
Okay.
That's weird you should say that.
Why?
I would say that's probably my favourite Led Zeppelin track of all time.
Really?
It's on my favourite album, which is like, it's completely different than the rest of the album, because the album's very acoustic kind of thing. This is like just a blues workout, and it's just Jimmy at his very best. But I'm sure it's not a Jimmy mistake. My God, he wouldn't make a mistake, would he?
No, and he certainly would have taken it out, because he kind of had this control freak.
Yeah.
Aura about him, which is not undeserved. It's something he was unaware of, which is what I like about this one. A lot of these mistakes, that's called the mistakes, just in inverted commas, you mishear them, or they're part of the fabric, etc., etc. But when you focus in on them, and usually thanks to the advent of digital recording, CDs, and now kind of remastering and all that sort of stuff, which is interesting where Jimmy Page really latched on to this bit. Obviously, 40 years later, couldn't take it out. But sometimes when you hear these things, Dave, you can't unhear them, and they can almost... Some of them kind of make you feel more affectionate because the artists are human too.
Part of what you like.
But some of them are really annoying.
Oh,
so the
really?
Drum pedal at the start of this, right? It's not just a Led Zeppelin thing. But John Bonham's drum pedal is a little, his bass drum pedal is a little squeaky. And you hear it here. And Jimmy Page never heard it at the time. He went back in the 90s or whatever to remaster them and obviously make more money off them. And then suddenly heard it and went, oh my God.
Really?
But if you zero in on this with your ears.
And here's me saying it's my favorite. I don't
even
know.
See, a lot again,
about.
I suppose
right.
Nowadays
okay.
We're listening to stuff on Spotify as well, so it's in your headphones all
right, here,
the time.
I'll
so.
Give it a blast
Go
then.
On.
Hold on. So this is the beginning of Since I've Been Loving You,
that's
and we're
right.
Looking for something of a squeak from the drums
yeah.
On the floor
like
as opposed
a
to any.
Mouse being
playing.
Strangled.
Oh, okay, hold on. Never before have I heard that. Yeah. Oh, what a track. I should pick the whole 7.5 minutes.
Well, you can do it when I'm gone.
Anyway, look, hold on a second. I do. You can, okay.
Listen to it again,
it's
though.
It's very difficult.
It's only when you zone in on it, though. Do you know
okay.
What I mean? Otherwise,
well,
you're not listening to it.
Good luck to everybody else, because this isn't easy. Okay.
Go close to the radio.
It's like a little mouse, you're right.
Yeah,
so the point about it is like there's...
Nobody went back and said, lads, come here, we should do it again because, hello, there's a squeak all the way through the start of it. And the fact is at the start of it, you can't unhear it then.
Yeah.
So I've ruined it for you, Dave, so
that's
I apologise.
Pretty good. No, you haven't ruined it. That's very exciting. Something I didn't know.
Woohoo!
Okay, where are we going now? In fact, I would have thought that there's a bunch of those things from there. Didn't they have noises in toilets and stuff like that?
They did. And of course, the great drum sound on Led Zeppelin 4 was your man playing under the stairwell, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, hanging out of the thing in some
it's
big
amazing
mansion.
Sound, though. Yeah, exactly. So
what, are we looking
they're
at
outside... inside self-same mansion when they did Black Country Woman, which I think you may have in front of you. This is one they kept in. So they're kind of recording outside, man, to kind of get the vibe, man, outside the studio, man. And then, of course, like in, what was the movie, Marie Antoinette, was it, where the airplane goes overhead? Well, an airplane goes overhead when they're recording the start of this acoustically strumming guitar bit outside. But they decided Asher will keep it in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Gotta get this airplane on.
Not even, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's Robert Plant going,
now leave it, yeah. Was the other bit in the... that's the original, the guy saying there's an airplane. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, okay, hold
that's
on.
That's Glyn Johns, though.
Gotta get this airplane on.
Not even, yeah.
Because
so
he's ready
man.
To rock. Okay, so hold on a second. Man. So I think we know what we're doing here now. We're talking about mistakes in classic recordings. And for any that we haven't noticed that you might, 51552 is our text. Owen Sweeney is our professor. So let's go for it. Where are you going next?
You have another Zeppelin there when we leave them alone then. If you have, this is one that happened to Ben Folds 5 much later, but in the ocean, minute and a half in, minute 40 seconds in, you hear a phone ringing. This is quite faint, but a phone does ring in the background.
Oh, really?
Part.
Okay, hold on. Didn't hear it.
That's all right. You can go home and listen to that. I didn't hear it either because the headphones up too loud. And
no, I just didn't hear that at all. I'll give it one last pass. So somewhere in the middle of all this is a phone ringing. Hold on. Okay, so John Bonham's like a tank. You wouldn't hear anything with him. Okay, so let's go. Let's pass Led Zeppelin. Let's go to something else, right?
Okay, something else ringing. A Day in the Life.
Yeah.
Now, this track, I won't even try and tell you anything about because you know it backwards. And
the last track on side two of the old vinyl of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
The foremost Beatles expert that I know is sitting opposite me, folks. So I will stumble through this one. But when they were recording it, they laid down... obviously, a lot of this is to do with old tapes. Do you know what I mean? And the limited number of tracks they could put down and then dubbing stuff over and blah, 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 blah. That's all very boring. But when they had A Day in the Life, when Lennon had his sketch for A Day in the Life, they kind of sat down and said, right, let's just record something. They had this gap in the middle, which, of course, they filled, but they didn't know what they're going to fill it with at the time. So they kind of, unusually for them, they kind of sat down.
Is this the Paul woke up,
this
fell
is
out
the
of
Paul
bed,
woke up, got out of bed. Yeah, so they had 24 bars to fill. You know, before that bit, so it's the orchestral bridge between the two, and so Mal Evans, who was the roadie, wasn't he the roadie? So he basically is in the studio as well with them because obviously convivial kind of communal thing. Counts off 24 bars, and then he needs to set something to remind the band where to kick back in because they're kind of playing, they stop, and then they kick up playing again. So what does he do? He sets off an alarm clock. And that stays on the original master.
The clock is part of the whole.
But apparently, it's not.
But hold on a second.
This is the
there
story.
There are so
Dave.
Many bits and pieces
this is
the
story.
And George Martin and sounds and etc. on this album. They're all over the place. I mean, like good morning, you hear the blinking cock crowing. So hold on a second. With all of this going on,
this was set in the studio to remind the band to
start
playing again.
Woke up, fell out of bed.
Then Paul wrote and came in with that bit. Yeah, yeah.
He wrote that because he heard the alarm clock.
Well, apparently.
Beatle experts, quick. Really? Okay, fair enough. Okay, well,
I mean, the words weren't there at
you
the
can
time,
certainly
apparently.
Hear the alarm clock. Everybody knows that. Okay, hold on.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head.
So you're apparently that predated those lines. Now, that's not for me to say,
and
Dave.
Think,
I will put that
do
to
you.
You
think
a Beatles
that with
expert.
The hearing the alarm clock there, are you trying to tell me that, like, Paul said, I have an idea about what to write next?
Apparently he had the idea, well, I'm not sure because I'm not Mr. McCartney, but apparently he had a notion and he obviously came in with that subsequently. But that is where the band, I don't know that it was written as woke up, got out of bed or whatever the line is.
Right.
I think the alarm clock was a fortuitous kind of happy accident or synchronicity, shall we say.
Okay.
Ooh, and the police are coming up soon.
So that was Mal Evans just trying to make them sure they could go the 24.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because they had a gap to fill. They needed
to mark
the gap.
Okay, where are you going
next? Will we stick with the Beatles very quick? Actually, just can I allude to one that we don't have, but it's a very famous one. It's actually quite a good one because you know Rubber Soul, what's it, I'm Looking Through You,
same old way,
but halfway through, kind of about a minute 15 and I've noted down here, Paul drops the tambourine. It's brilliant.
Oh really?
Because you know they're obviously playing the tambourine, and then you hear this kind of,
you probably, we just all think it's playing,
but exactly right, and then you suddenly hear this flurry where obviously he drops the tambourine but he keeps going. Why they didn't record it again I don't know, but there you are. Maybe oftentimes, like movie continuity mistakes, people just miss these things. Helter Skelter, we've got the end of it there with Ringo.
What happens at the end with Ringo?
He's got blisters on his fingers.
Ah, yeah, yeah. That's
I think, like, it's part of the shtick, though, isn't it?
Knows that line.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I got blisters on my fingers!
Yeah, like that's just, they just leave things in. It's not so much, you can't, I mean, you define mistake, as I said. Okay, moving swiftly on.
It, interesting, the mono version of that song fades, because it fades out and it fades back in again, of course.
All right. Yeah,
so that's
okay.
The mono version cuts off before it, but there you go. Here's one that's definitely a bit of a mistake, and certainly our bit of frustration is kind of a bit of, I suppose, grunge history left on the wax, as they say. The End of Rearview Mirror by Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam, yeah, really? What happens there?
Well, now, I never could pronounce this guy's name out loud, and I don't know that I've heard it said. So their drummer at the time, they've gone through a few of them, Dave Abruzzese, let's call him that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
He Brendan O'Brien, their long-term producer, and subsequently Bruce Springsteen's producer, and many others, was obviously putting them through the ringer. Drummers always get it in the neck, really, don't they, from producers? Kind of do it again, do it again, do it again, which is why drum machines were invented. But anyway, so he was feeling the pressure in the studio that day, and obviously kind of there were frictions with the rest of the band. He subsequently left the band. At the end of it, you hear him his drum sticks against the wall and it's caught on tape. Apparently afterwards, Dave, though, he punched a hole in the snare drum and threw it off a cliff. Why a cliff? I don't know.
Okay, hold on.
Wow, that's literally the end of the song.
Wait on a second.
Sorry, I was expecting a little bit of a lead in there.
I thought I was going to hear drumsticks.
You do hear the drumsticks, yeah. But okay.
I'll just do it one more time.
That's literally what you're going to hear.
Didn't get that one.
There you go.
It just happened there, didn't it? Okay.
The song's about 4.5. Yeah, so basically he was obviously take after take after take. So that was the start of him leaving the band. I think it's safe to say. Can I make another drumming one?
He left because of musical differences or something, didn't he?
Just very quickly, there's another drumming one.
I remember talking to Black Sabbath. You know, he left because, you know, like medical reasons. And Ozzy came into the microphone. And, yeah, we were sick of him. Go on.
What was his name?
Who, Tony Iommi or one of those?
No, the drummer.
Oh,
Ward.
Bill Ward.
There you go.
But he didn't leave. Anyway, go on.
Heroin by Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Mo Tucker. You don't have in front of you. It's all right. But you know she stops playing. You know when they're doing that whole rush, the heroin's and blah, 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 the very end of it, the crescendo.
She couldn't be bothered.
She couldn't hear them.
Oh.
So she stopped playing, thinking, well, if I stop playing, they're going to stop. They never did, and that's the tape they used.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera, speaking of loud headphones, because I nearly blared the head off myself there when
Christina
you said
Aguilera.
That. Yes, this is beautiful. By Christina Aguilera.
So that's what it's called.
Right. It's a soulful ballad.
Right.
And her headphones are a little loud, and you can hear the bleed, as they call it in the business, from her headphones through the microphone into your headphones when you listen to it at home. I think it's very shoddy. They say it adds to the rawness of the track. I think it's just a mistake.
Sure it does. Okay, I'll give it a blast.
Don't you bring me down today.
Whatever.
Right, go on, play The Police then.
This
is one of the more famous ones. This one actually I missed for 100
Which
years.
Which track is it?
It's Roxanne. It's the very start of Roxanne. Okay. Sting, apparently, for it is he. It was hardly Stuart Copeland sat on the piano when they were playing and laughs. Sting laughs.
What actually happened? He sat on the piano by accident.
I don't think he did it on purpose. Anyway, they kept it on the take. Why? I don't know.
Do you hear a big
dun? Yeah.
All right.
Play it, Dave.
I didn't know that. And then he laughed.
You missed it completely. Play it again.
Let's do it again. I got that. Right. Now, that is
famous,
one I never noticed before. That's
famous
amazing.
Perfectionist Sting.
So
there.
He sat down on the piano. That's the, and then he laughs at it.
Yep.
And they keep it in.
Do you know, I never heard that for about 20 years.
I have the first time I've heard it. Yeah. Okay, go on, more.
James Blunt. I will apologise in advance for you playing this, but it's you hitting
go
the play,
on.
Not me.
Yep.
He comes in early on this. Now, this song is one of those things that just, it'll be hard to get out of your head. So we'll play a parody version of it very quickly afterwards to hopefully clear that particular palate. But, yeah, he comes in too early in this. My life is brilliant, I think, is the line.
Oh, as in
so
you're
he's
beautiful.
So nervous recording. Yeah, sorry, this is You're Beautiful. Sorry, I just assumed it's
okay,
the only song anyone
One,
knows
two,
by
three.
James Blunt.
Here it goes.
My life is brilliant.
Too early, James.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. Was this the original version that we know or something? Is this a different version?
Interestingly, this is the original version on the album, but the radio version snipped
it
that out.
It gets it right, really.
But he literally came in too early.
Yeah.
And okay. Way too early.
It was meant to get the kind of lovely pastoral acoustic bit first.
Exactly. Okay. So James Blunt was nervous once. I imagine that's why it happened. But they kept it on the record.
My life is brilliant. My life is brilliant. My love is pure.
Okay, didn't know that. Okay.
It sounds like a boast when he comes in.
Here's the one you're talking about.
This is Weird Al.
Well, not you're beautiful, you're pitiful.
My life is brilliant.
What, was I too early? Oh, sorry, should I? Do you want to start over or keep going? Okay, now?
My life is brilliant. Your life's a joke.
Is his thing completely a takeoff of that mistake?
It is, but you know, the joke was written for him.
Right.
So he almost just covered the joke.
He did
ask James Blunt 3 times and his record company for permission to release that. He didn't necessarily need to get it, but
and they refused it every time. If you listen closely to Coldplay's Clocks, there's a very quick piano blip about halfway through. Wow, okay.
Wow.
Louise, thank you for that. Okay, go on, give us more.
Nirvana, Polly, obviously is a famous one. But I think this adds to it now. I can't imagine this any other way, so I'll give Kurt a pass on this.
What am I supposed to be not hearing?
He comes in too early on the third verse, the third and final verse.
Oh, okay.
Polly says her back hurts.
Okay.
I can't imagine that any other way. That's one you've obviously digested so long ago and internalised. Anyway,
right.
The Who there in front of you.
I do. Yeah.
Okay, this is Pete singing lead, I think, isn't it? Eminence front. This is a very late era Who, 1982. They're still around, folks. But I think, I don't know which one is singing which, but one is singing behind an Eminence front and the other one's singing it's an Eminence front. So what you end up with on the original version is it's an Eminence front, which is quite funny.
Oh, great. Hold on.
You have to play it again. Just the first one. The first one's Eminence front.
Completely
it's very
losing
funny.
That. Hold on. He was later at the front there, or something happened too early because of it, and something along those lines. Okay.
That's right. Have you Pink Floyd?
I do.
Have you Wish You Were Here?
I do.
This is a salutary one. This is the intro to the title track from what I think David Gilmour regards as their best album. I wouldn't necessarily not agree with him, but it's the bit where he's about to play his lovely acoustic guitar and they've got all the sound effects and stuff, but he's so closely mic'd, he hears himself cough, he hears himself sniff, and he decides to give up the fags. Legend has it after that.
Okay. Okay, there's a slight nerd in me on this one. I knew that.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know he gave up the fags after.
But you knew the cough was there.
I remember that sound, of him doing whatever he's doing. What was that? He's coughing or he's sniffing?
He's coughing. Yeah. He sniffs slightly after that, too.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
Apparently he was so annoyed or annoyed with himself when he heard that back that he gave up the cigarettes.
I see. Okay.
So there's good can come of this, David.
Indeed, absolutely.
Actually, I want to make a quick mention to the Great Gig in the Sky, the very end of the Great Gig in the Sky on Dark Side of the Moon. The tape actually wobbles.
With Claire Torrey.
Yeah, but the very end when, Richard Wright in the piano, the last note as it sustains.
It wobbles, doesn't it?
The actual, because they're a physical tape.
Yeah, right.
So it comes off the runner slightly. It's the end of the tape. Well, it may not have been the end of the tape. Anyway, there's a bit of a wobble there and that's on the master recording. Have you Love Shack go on to cheer people up?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
This is Cindy Wilson. They were, again, improvising in the studio and this was meant to be the start of the next verse, but when she started singing, everyone stopped playing, but they kept it in where it was. Again, there's so many kind of almost myths about this song that I don't know that it's necessarily true, and it sounds like it should absolutely be there. It's when she says tin roof rusted. Of course, a lot of people didn't know what she was saying at the time either.
So that wasn't meant to be like that at all?
Apparently not.
Right, okay.
Apparently not. Although I don't know. I can't imagine that any other way. She was expecting them to kick back in there and they didn't. But, happy accident. Have you R.E.M.?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Come
excellent. On. Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight. Michael Stipe again. He just laughs at this. I just want to hear it. That's all.
The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight. Okay.
Candy bar, a falling star.
It's hardly like, yeah, okay, he's laughing a bit there, whatever.
Yeah, but you know, these people are perfectionists and they keep it in, which right. I think is quite nice.
Okay, so give us two more, three more.
What have you got in front of your left?
I have, you really got me from the
Okay, Kinks. This is a famous story. You really got me by the Kinks. This is where Dave Davies is about to go into, well, the world changing guitar solo. Apparently, he invented heavy metal.
Yeah.
And his brother turns to him to wish him good luck or say something to him and he tells him to F off. Now, Ray Davies has dined out on this, written a book about everything else, told the story on the stage. We'd all have seen him do it and you've probably heard him do it in an interview.
Well, no, I've had the two of them in here in the studio. You should have heard Ray. He was coming down heavy. And when Dave made a mistake about something, mixing up, are you ready for this? Believe it or not. So I was your man. It was, I'll tell you, okay, I've got to tell you the story.
Go on.
Dave was sitting there going, yeah, yeah, I remember like Sergeant Pepper's. Like it was a big thing. It was, in fact, it was an Irish guy that played it for me, kind of thing. The name was, oh God, it's your man, Val. And Ray goes, Val Dunican. No, it was Van Morrison. It was just hilarious. Anyway, where was I? Okay, so what am I looking for here exactly?
Somewhere in there is, what you call him, Dave turning to Ray and saying F off.
Here's a text.
Go on.
Here's a text from Owen, that's not you.
No, says, well,
what about Westlife? Every album they made is a mistake. Oh, God. Okay. okay, where was I? Yes, okay, you really got me, the Kinks. You really got me. So wait a minute, just before the
he covered it up with the oh no. So I don't know about this one. I would actually, I don't know. I have listened to it so often, having heard that story so many times. Sometimes you hear it, sometimes
okay,
you don't.
So before Dave's solo, Ray is looking over
somewhere
saying,
the oh no was
in a cynical
mask
kind of way.
Yeah,
and Ray is just telling him get lost. Okay, hold on.
Brothers.
Well, if he
see,
was,
see, I reckon I heard it that time.
Right,
but
okay. If he was telling him to F off, it's the kind of the invention of metal, isn't that what it
That's
was?
That's exactly
there?
Right. Yeah, exactly
that
right.
That killed it.
Can I mention one that we don't have in front of you? That I heard it and it just absolutely ruined it for me in a weird way. You know, For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield.
I do. Yeah. There's something happening here.
Yeah, they're telling me I've got to beware the B drops. I heard there's a slight glitch in that. And later on, 1,000 people in the street. There's literally no P on it. It just
oh
drops
my
out.
God.
It's like 1,000 people
write
in
to the
street.
Record company.
You should do. Write to Atlantic Records or ATCO or whatever they were called, care of 1966, and see if they come back to you, David.
Right, indeed. Okay, give me one more or two.
Hey Jude. Now, this one you probably know. This is a new one for me.
On,
McCartney there apparently says, F in hell. Can I say that?
Where? At what point?
Just before Hey Jude takes off at the very end of the, before the na-na-na-na-na-na-na's.
Does he?
Yeah,
okay,
play it there and see.
Okay. Hide your ears, young people. Better under your skin than you begin to make it. Okay, there is something said in the background by a voice. There's no question about that. And you're trying to tell me that. Okay,
well, apparently it's McCartney.
Maybe saying Paul is dead. We probably missed it. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. Better under your skin than you begin. Yes, behind the then you begin.
I heard it much better than that. I played again there. Better under your skin than
you begin to make it. I don't know how you could make that out.
Well, I heard it's probably these headphones and the volume that you radio DJs have your headphones set at.
The one with the crowd going, ooh, in the middle of Purple Rain was also left in because it was recorded live for its first live performance.
I can't think of the venue now in Memphis. I know Memphis, Minneapolis.
Lot of live ones, all right. Judas and all the rest. Okay, so listen, have you any more? No?
Is Louie there? You
one last one. No, I don't have it. No,
okay, well, go on then. What have you got?
I've got the Beach Boys.
Have you Ella Fitzgerald?
No, I've got the Beach Boys, Barbara Ann. No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, they make a Hames of this, but then I'm not sure because it's meant to be a party record.
Yeah,
it's meant to be a party studio.
That doesn't count.
Play all of Led Zeppelin.
It's like Yellow Submarine or something, yeah. All right, no. You know, it's just meant to be kind of mad, you know. All right, Owen, that's it. I'm not going to play anymore. Get
Don't
out.
Then, fine.
Owen Sweeney, thank you very much indeed. Good man yourself. Thank you. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.